Carrie. Today we often hear about trouble between borders, between countries. And we have just heard that even in Jesus' time, there was this kind of trouble, for we read, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and he was really trying to keep out of Samaria, for he knew that the Samaritans and the Galilean Jews just did not get on together. They hated each other. And earlier in Luke's gospel, we could have read that there was the same feeling, for a Samaritan village sadly refused to give any hospitality whatsoever to Jesus because he was heading to Jerusalem. The Galileans saw the Samaritans as people of mixed race who intermarried, who practiced a half-pagan religion. When Jesus got into that village, the 10 men must have been very pleased to see him, for they must have heard about this man. And they immediately cry out, Master Jesus, have pity on us. A leper's life must have been very miserable then, for they had what the Good News Bible tells us a dreadful skin disease, which meant they were excluded from everything. In fact, they couldn't go to work. They were in a kind of open prison. Do you know what Hansen's disease is? One or two of you? Hansen's disease is actually leprosy. It's called Hansen's disease today to get away from the stigma of leprosy. Hansen was the man who discovered the bacteria behind leprosy. But apparently, one has to spend many months in contact with someone who's a leper to catch it. And it is treatable, though 200,000 still catch it worldwide. And it takes actually years to develop. In Jesus' time, lepers did have a very miserable life, treated very unfairly. We read that these lepers stood at a distance because of three things, actually. Because of a cultural reason, they were foreigners. Secondly, a religious reason. They were marginalized because they didn't keep the full law, Moses' law. And thirdly, a physical reason, of course, because of their physical condition. Lepers were banned from doing any work, as I said, and they were also couldn't join in family meals, couldn't share a meal with anyone. Imagine that. It's rather like our homeless, of course, today. And so Luke stresses the isolation of these 10 lepers. They were at the entry of the village, well away from the homes of the villagers. They were keeping their distance, so they had to shout to get his attention as he was passing by to Jerusalem. Jesus wasn't worried about their religious denomination. He just wanted to help them. We don't know why Jesus had gone to that village, and these 10 men shouting must have surprised him. Are we surprised that Jesus doesn't touch them? And Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priests. And aren't we surprised again when they don't seem to be saying, why? What's the good of going to the priest? Jesus hasn't done anything. He hasn't touched us. Jesus is testing their faith. And we read that they were obedient. They went. And on their way, they of course find they are healed. Because they were obedient, they were cleansed. They were healed. Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Literally, this means it has saved you. But only one man, as we saw, returned praising God. He throws himself on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him. Most commentators seem to think only one Samaritan came back. They assume that, for Jesus says there were 10 healed, but why just this foreigner coming back to praise God? Previously, Jesus had regretted that his disciples lacked faith when there was the boy with the evil spirit and they couldn't heal him. So Jesus is pleased now that this foreigner is full of faith and thankfully praising God when he's found out that he's been healed and they've all been healed. This Samaritan, like the Samaritan in the story of the Good Samaritan, comes out this account very well, comes out tops. A foreigner in this account has much to teach us how to be more thankful. And even today, there may be much that we can learn from others, even from the marginalized around us. Amen. Steve. This passage obviously is often used for prison Sunday. Paul has told Timothy not to be ashamed of preaching the gospel, for because Paul has witnessed, he has suffered though, even to the extent of being put in chains, like a criminal. Several times, possibly five times, Paul was imprisoned. The authorities kept trying to stop Paul preaching, but here in our passage, Paul says, but God's word cannot be changed. Chained. God's word cannot be chained. Whatever they did to Paul, people would still hear the gospel, and being sent to prison was actually very fortunate for Paul, for he could speak to the prisoners who would never have heard the gospel otherwise. Thus, locking him up didn't help the authorities at all. In fact, it was causing the opposite effect to what they wanted. They must have been amazed that even in prison, people are hearing the gospel and changing. Paul is trying to encourage Timothy when he will no doubt have to suffer opposition as well for spreading the gospel. God's word should give Timothy new courage and hope. In Philippians chapter 1, we could read about Paul being in prison. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, as it became clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. As Tom Wright puts it, Paul being in prison has helped the gospel on its way. The Jews thought they could put Paul away and everything would quieten down. However, the opposite was happening. The Jews didn't know it, but they were helping to spread the gospel even further beyond prison walls to inmates and their warders. As Paul says, God's word cannot be chained. The spread of the gospel cannot be stopped. As we know today, now it's spread worldwide. A few months ago, I bought a book and read called Criminal. Let me share some of that book with you. It's by Angela Kerwin. Angela worked in prison supporting vulnerable prisoners who have no one to turn to. Imagine that. She says that one in seven develop a problem in prison. In other words, they start taking drugs, in which Angela said, and so it would have been better if they had been punished outside prison. When they're let out, she says, they commit crime to fund their addiction, and we bang them up always on short sentences that break their community, ties with their community, uproot their lives and make them more likely to reoffend on release. One lad, Sean, told her he didn't mind being in prison. He could score just as easily. In other words, he could get drugs very easily, just as he could on the streets. It didn't make a difference to him. Angela winced, for she knew that the statistic that a third of inmates thought it was easier to find drugs in prison than outside. Sean was in prison 22 times before he managed to have rehab. Angela says that he has had rehab. If he'd had it from the start, it would have cost a tenth of what they spent on his incarceration. And sadly, one in five of 6 month sentences are released homeless. One man, who she had desperately been trying to help, he committed suicide. She knew that he didn't intend to commit suicide because he didn't leave a note. Then she thought of him in that cell alone, counting the hours, counting the days, slowly deteriorating behind the door. And she says how scared he must have been, how low he must have felt. "We are barbaric," she said. "We allowed this to happen. I allowed this to happen," she says. "I'd worked so hard to keep my crims out of trouble, to keep them sane, sane enough not to kill themselves, and I hadn't even achieved that." Apparently, we have the most expensive prison bill in Europe. And in 7 years' time, they hope in this country to have built four new prisons, 14,000 places. After reoffending, our reoffending rate, only 12 months after release, is 48%. Again, put in prison, in other words. Short sentences actually increase reoffending. Thus, Angela Curran's book called Criminal is about criminals, yes, but also about our absolutely criminal system, prison system. And so personally, I do wonder whether we should be building more prisons. But let us not just get one side of the picture of the story. Let's hear about Francesca, whom you may have seen on television because the Princess of Wales interviewed her. Francesca was 10 years old when she realised she was gay. And at that time, there was so little to help such people. So eventually, of course, she started taking alcohol to deal with her feelings. However, bad news came. Her parents separated, and this led her to start using cannabis, then speed, and this led her to go on to other drugs, and eventually heroin. And she was prosecuted and ended up in prison. Over the 7 months she was in jail, she was trying to get off the drug. And she went on the forwards 12-step recovering program. And she completed this in 12 weeks. And she found that talking about her problems helped her. In fact, she became a prison advisor. She told the Princess of Wales that going into prison was the best thing she had happened to her. The rehabilitation program, she says, helped me to explore my thoughts and feelings. I hope my experience helped others who are at rock bottom. If I hadn't decided to do the footsteps program, none of this would have happened. I feel truly blessed, she said. She came out of prison feeling totally blessed. And the surprising thing is that she is now helping others. And so to sum up, let us do all we can for prisoners and especially help them to keep out of jail, where they meet so many others and start often taking drugs. Maybe we feel we can't do much, but we could write to an MP or someone, and we can all pray, and we will prayerfully think of them a bit later in our prayer time. Amen.